Welcome to Bed Crime Stories Podcast. I'm your host, T. Hi, guys. Hope you're having a wonderful day. If you're new here, a warm welcome. Thank you for checking out my channel. All I ask is that after listening to and or watching the video, if you find you enjoyed it or learned something, smash that like button and consider subscribing. Now, let's dig in. Oh, lordy, lordy, lordy. It wasn't a rock. It wasn't a barge. Finally, we hear the truth. Take a listen to the 911 call that came in just after University of Missouri student Riley Strain was found.
What's the exact location of your emergency?
Yes, ma'am. I'm at 1740 61st Avenue North, Nashville, Tennessee. My company works on the river. I have just found a dead body. I believe it to be Riley.
Found a dead body?
Yes, ma'am, in the river. We don't know barges at this facility.
What does it look
I was
like?
Checking around my dock. It's definitely got a person hair, black shirt, kind of like a white, muddy looking on the front. It's face down in the water. Shirt? Yes, ma'am.
It's a
Caucasian.
It looks like a male.
Yes, ma'am.
Not the bed, but like, is he partially in the water, partially out of the water?
No. He's fully submerged besides his back sticking out of the water. I actually had to move a log off of the head to confirm it was a body.
Okay. I'll have this call up and I'm going to get somebody out there, okay?
All right. I'll meet them up top. I'm going to make my way up from the river here in just a few minutes.
Okay. All right. I'll let you go.
All right. Thank you.
So Riley was found when a log was moved, not a rock, not a barge. And today we learned from the parents that they know that he was wearing a belt on the night he disappeared. So how does a current drag off jeans held on by a belt? Riley was found still wearing his boxer shorts. So I ask you this, how does a current strong enough to rip off his boots and jeans distinguish between the jeans and the boxers? The worker who called in also said that Riley's head was wedged under the log. That makes it sound like somebody placed it there. We have to also factor in that Riley's bank card was found on an embankment near the Cumberland River. His wallet was not with him when his body was found. So far, no one seems to have come forward to say that they heard him fall in the river. We know that Riley had an exchange with Nashville officer Reginald Young on Gay Street, south of the Woodland Street Bridge. About 9:55 p.m., the last known footage of Riley shows him approaching and walking under the James Robertson Parkway Bridge. Now, an article on NewsNationNow.com said that at 10:15 p.m., Riley's stepfather pinged Riley's phone, and it showed that it was located in the opposite direction of the hotel near James Robertson Parkway and Gay Street. And detectives have claimed that the last phone conversation Riley had with one of his friends was also right around this time. We also heard from a homeless person who said that he heard Riley above an embankment and that he had fallen into a bush, according to another person who was up there and witnessed it. And this guy who witnessed it said that Riley was okay and that he was just very, very drunk. So if the phone last pinged around 10:15 p.m., that means that Riley really couldn't have been that far away, you wouldn't think. Could he have fallen into the river without anybody hearing it? It's been reported that the phone was either turned off or it went off the network around that same time. At least that's my understanding. So did Riley turn it off? Did it go off because it landed in the water? Or did somebody else turn it off? I'd assumed that it had last pinged because it landed in the water with Riley. but it's also possible that it last pinged because somebody took control of Riley, took his phone, and turned it off. All of these details, and the fact that the worker said that Riley's head was wedged under a log, seem to point to foul play. It's all circumstantial evidence. If we consider all this stuff in totality, it does seem to point to foul play. Listen to what Chris Dingman, the Strain family spokesperson and friend, said to Nancy Grace.
Yes, the details that we're hearing, that his head was lodged under a log, that his boots, wallet, pants missing, but especially hearing on the 911 call that his head was lodged under a log, are those facts that the mom, Michelle, knows? It would break my heart to hear those facts. I don't know that she's ready to hear that.
We actually, as a collective group in Riley's War Room, kept a lot of stuff from Michelle, just because as you deal on a daily basis and a lot of people on the panel today, it's a dark world out there and people like to do cruel things. So I am unaware at this moment. I don't think Michelle knew the graphic nature of how Riley was found. The War Room, the dads, the uncles, etc. Yes, we were quite aware of it. And the wild part is Ryan, Riley's dad, actually was at that location, and they pinged it that night at like 11 or 12 o'clock that night in the boat as a possible location to search with the dogs. I do know that.
Dingman doesn't specify which day Riley's father was on the river when they got that ping in that location where the body was found. Did that happen, say, Saturday night? Sunday? I think it's more likely that it happened Saturday night, and that will definitely help them narrow down the timeline. When you factor in that Riley did not have water in his lungs, that's what's been reported about the findings from the first autopsy. It certainly adds to the suspicious nature of the death. So Riley's found without his wallet, and yet his bank card was found on the embankment near where he was last spotted. There's no water in his lungs. His pants are off despite wearing a belt. His boots are off. If the pants came off through the current, and the same for the boots, you'd think those items would be found in the same area where his body was found. If the current carried his body to that location, then his pants and his boots should be there too, you'd think. Maybe just the pants? I don't know. Would the boots sink? It's no wonder the family wanted the second autopsy. I would find it very hard to accept that this was an accident with all of these strange details. I think when the toxicology reports come back, those are going to be very telling. They may help paint a picture of what happened. Now, Chris Dingman also stated that the second autopsy showed no signs of major trauma. So no gunshot wound, no signs of blunt force trauma, and no signs of being injured with a sharp object. And remember, Riley still had his Apple Watch on. So if somebody was going to rob him, why didn't they grab that as well? Maybe because of fears of GPS tracking? What do you guys think? Let me know in the comments, and I'll see you next time on Bed Crime Stories.